Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Here we are in our, we've been starting a new series called Christ Clutter in the Calendar, and it's how do we work through our schedules, work through things that burden us to come to a place where we can live the life of joy that God has intended for us.
And
we're in this short series at a short meeting, you know, 5 to 6 weeks to kind of walk through things that we're going to help understand what it is biblically, and then practical things that he gives us in terms of here's how you would maneuver through it, which will take mm-hmm. time with him, obviously,
right?
You know, to process that. We talked last time about I set before you life and death, and I've come to give you this supernatural, beautiful life of joy and experience. And it's more mm-hmm. it's more than just you know, financial things. It's all of the aspects of life, which
right.
is relationship and joy together and margin and things to do that. And then I wanted to share something that happened. We're taping this a little bit early. So we're in the middle of the, when we're taping this, we're in the middle of the, what's called the NBA playoffs.
Oh, yes.
So
go Celtics.
Celtics are in it, and Denver's in it. They actually could wind up in the finals. That's really interesting.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Because they're both really good. But our grandson, Aiden, and I, every year I get a season ticket, but it's like a quarter of the games at home.
Right.
Because I can't go to all of them anyway, and it's too expensive. So, but we get this, and he and I go frequently mm-hmm. if he's available. That's one of the special things that we do. Mm-hmm. And again, we make time for that, and we always have dinner before, and then we spend time together. And it's a great time of me actually discipling him without discipling him. You know, if you know what I mean,
right?
It's like
just
that,
investing in him, right?
Yeah,
and
like,
the conversations that come
yeah,
out of that naturally are
yeah,
beautiful.
It's not about we're in a Bible study together. It's that he has life stuff going on, particularly as he heads toward college. And mm-hmm. And I just am there to lead him back to the scriptures and, okay, what does God say? And what are you hearing? And it's just a beautiful time. Well, so we're in the playoffs. And because I'm this season, you know, pass, I have an opportunity to buy a game. I could buy mm-hmm. all of them if I want to, but I'm not gonna. So, I select and I pray about, you know, should I do game one, game two, you know, game four, three, and I hear God say two, God, you know, buy game two. So I buy game mm-hmm. two. We go this last week, we're at a particular place on the court, near the court, and. The Nuggets are playing the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
and they're behind the entire game. And they get so far behind, they're 20 points behind in the third quarter.
Wow, yeah.
And so it's like, looks like they're not going to do well, they're not going to make it. You know, and we're even talking about, you know, hey, when we get to the fourth quarter, should we just, you know, go home early.
Early, yep.
You know, and it's like, yeah, I don't know. You know, and Aiden says, I'm not so sure that they might not come back, you know, and mm-hmm. So let's wait, you know, so we wait. And so the fourth quarter, they're starting to come back, and they catch up within a couple minutes of the end,
mm-hmm.
And then it's back and forth, they're tied with 10 seconds to go.
Uh-huh. Oh, what a fun game.
And so at our end of the court, the player of the Nuggets has the ball, Jamal Murray, and comes around and literally right in front of us, right in front of us, meaning, you know, we're maybe in, you know, row 18 or 19. But he shoots as the buzzer goes off and makes the basket.
Oh, how fun.
And they win the game on the very last shot right in front of us. And, of course, everybody, you know, explodes. And what I didn't realize is that Aiden was taping all that.
Oh, no way.
Because he was thinking this might happen, you know. So he taped, he tapes the entire thing and then shows the crowd and he and I. And because of those special moments, it's so over the top spectacular. You can't even describe the experience of being there live.
Right.
And experiencing that. And Aiden, you know, he just kept saying he'll never forget it. He said, it's one of those moments in life. He said, what a privilege that I got to see that live. I'll never forget what happened and how it happened and all that happened.
What a special memory.
And it's just a special memory that now he and I have together. And it's where, and when we talk about life, see, God says, I want to bring to you the abundance of life. You know, the spectacular things of life, the joy of life that he and I had together. And that's what we're trying to say to you is that I could have just said, well, it's either too expensive or too busy to go. So let's just watch it on TV. But no, God says, let me give you this. And yes, go ahead and do this. And we happened to be at the right, the game that happened.
Right, you
know,
right.
And God says, yeah, because I know what's going to happen.
Because I told you.
I told you it was going to happen. You know? And so as we look at life, it's to be able to be in a position that God can have you have these relationships. And it's not, you know, hey, hurry up and get going. It's we relaxed. We had a good time. We had a meal together before. There was margin along with it, and it was it was recreation,
right.
That, you know, isn't a life or death stuff, but it was joyful, you know, for us. So, as we look at that, we just wanted to encourage everybody that, it's all of life and you get these moments, you know, that we got to do. Last time we talked about Christ saying, I want to give you superabundant life. I want to take the burdens. I want to take the weariness. I want to take the heaviness and replace it. And so we need to understand we have an enemy who's trying to do the opposite. And so let's talk about that today. And remember, God says, I've come to give you abundance. I've come to restore you. I have plans for good. And I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to other people, the covenant.
Right.
And they'll experience blessing, and they'll experience the supernatural because of your experience with it, because I'm going to ask you to give it away, which is part of the life. Okay, think of Satan. No abundance.
Right.
No restoration. I don't have plans for good. I have plans for heaviness.
And that's for everyone.
And that's
not
for
even
yeah.
for those who, I mean, there are Satan worshipers out there and everything else. His plans for them aren't good either.
No.
Because that's not who he is.
That's right.
So we do need to remember that.
Yeah. And if you're not blessed, then you never can give it away and other people aren't going to experience it either. So you can see his goal. Okay. So let's look at how he operates. So John 10:10, we read what Christ said about it. What does he say about Satan?
Yeah. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly.
Yeah. So he said, everything that you're part of, I want to kill it. I want to steal it. I want to destroy it. And I'm going to work at it. And one of the big ways is busyness. And he says, I have a strategy for that. So go to Ephesians 6:10-12.
Sure. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places.
Yeah. And then read 1 Peter 5:8, and we'll put those together.
Sure. It says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Yeah, who he can kill, steal, and destroy. And he says he has, and the word there in Ephesians is wiles or strategies, tactics to deceive you.
Right.
So that you get occupied with things that aren't of God. And he says, I'm working so that you get drifted into that. And you're deceived where you think what you're doing is good because you've decided that. You know, so for example, when I ask people, why are you so busy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't say because I've decided to be awful.
Right.
they say, it seems to me it's a good thing to do that. First of all, it reinforces who I am and I get rewarded by, activity and task. And that's how I've been geared. And then isn't it a good thing to keep doing all these good things? Mm-hmm. And Satan says, yeah, I've got you in my trap. I'm devouring you because you're getting more and more tired. You're getting more and more weary and you're thinking what you're doing is a good thing, but my strategy is to keep you occupied and busy, not of the things of God, but the things of flesh. And so we got to recognize that there's an opposite side to this, and there's a working toward that. It's not a, maybe it's there and maybe I choose not to. No, the enemy's working hard.
Yeah, there is actually a spiritual battle going on.
Battle
in this,
to pull,
right?
To pull you away. And he says, this is my tactic. So go to James 1, 12 to 15.
It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death.
Okay. I remember, and again, just keep putting together what we've learned. He said, I need to draw you away from the kingdom. And if you walk outside the kingdom, you respond to that temptation, which by itself isn't sin, but you wind up in sin. Okay, now, remember what the simple definition of sin is. Sin is in the flesh, not with God.
Right.
Because I've lost that covering. And he said, what does sin lead to? Death. What do we learn in Romans? When you're in the flesh, you put to death the spirit and you're at enmity against God. Okay, so Satan says, I can't force you this, but I can tempt you to leave the kingdom and stay in the flesh. Because he says, I do know something. When you're there, you put to death the spirit and you're at enmity against God.
Right.
So how does he do it? I appeal to your selfishness. And selfishness is just, I've decided.
Right.
So his temptation is, well, decide. And what you think you're doing is good. You're actually walking away from the kingdom because he uses the temptation of, I think I know better.
Right.
And in this issue of life, and the joy of life, he says, I want to draw you to where you think you're doing the right thing, but you're actually sinning and you're not living with God. And he said, that's my strategy and that's my approach, and I'm going to constantly do it. Okay, so he wants to draw us away and away into problems with clutter and calendar. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's two primary ways he does it. Number one, too many tasks. I'm doing too many things, busyness. And then a second
even
way,
even good things,
is an occupied thought life where I'm churning, I'm in anxiety, I'm trying to figure things out, I'm working, trying to work solutions, and I never have freedom because I'm always burdened by it. So too many tasks, and an occupied thought life. Okay, so let's go first of all to too many tasks.
Sure.
Go to Proverbs 23, 4 and 5.
Says, do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven.
Yep. And it says right there, do not do too many things.
Mm-hmm.
To chase what?
Riches.
Riches, financial gain. And it could be that, well, for me, it's not even financial gain. I'm just trying to get above water. Mm-hmm. And I got to work and I got to work and I got to have two jobs and I got to work at night. And because I just need it financially just to make it. Or mm-hmm. I am trying to get more. But he says it's a fruitless exercise.
Right.
But the enemy is trying to get you occupied with too many things that are going to do what? Not have any meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
So he said it'll fly away. Okay, go to Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Christ speaks about this.
Sure.
Matthew 6, 19 to 21.
Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Okay, so he says, don't you chase temporal things
mm-hmm.
because you think that's a good thing and you're in the world and you need temporal things. But don't chase them and don't wear yourself out doing
right.
it because what? It's not going to last.
Mm-hmm.
You got to chase the spiritual things. And by the way, he goes on later to say, if you seek first the kingdom of God, what happens?
All these things will be added to you.
I'll give you the temporal things,
mm-hmm.
but you got to do it in the kingdom of God. So decide yourself, I'm going to try to build my own definition of all these things. He said, mm-hmm. if you do, it's going to be worthless.
Right.
Don't get too active. Don't chase them. I'm going to show you what that is. And he said, now there's a truth about this. Go to Matthew 6:24. He said, this determines which way you go. Matthew 6:24.
No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
Okay. Now he says you cannot do what?
Serve God and mammon.
You can't serve God and develop your own strategy for chasing the things.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's not possible because by you chasing the things, you exit the kingdom.
Mm.
The enemy has tempted you out. You put to death the spirit. You're at enmity against God, and God cannot deliver to you the superabundant life, and Satan's got you. He said, and God says, look, it's not that complicated. You can't do both.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to decide who you're going to serve. By the way, if you serve me, I'll give it to you.
Right.
And I'll give you this life, and I'll show you this life, and I'll help you get to this life. Okay, he makes another statement, and Paul makes another statement in 1 Timothy 6, 9 to 10.
All right, hang on just a second. 1 Timothy 6, 9 to 10.
Yep.
But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Yeah. The temptation is pursue, and the word, again, money, mammon, is the things that you think are important for you to live your natural life better.
Right.
So don't chase it. There's a temptation to do that. If you do that, it leads to sorrow and heaviness.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it's really not about the level of wealth. It's about who you're serving
mm-hmm.
and who you're going. So like, for example, and I deal a lot with executives. Do they have more wealth than us? Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? If they keep chasing it, they're miserable.
Right.
Why? too many tasks, too much heaviness. It's not about, well, if I could just have more money, I won't get there anymore. And that's not really true. If people with a lot of money actually wind up in the same place. Why? Because they're too occupied and too busy. So it's not about the level of wealth.
It's really the posture of the heart, right?
It's the posture of the heart. What are you chasing? And the enemy is trying to get you trapped in thinking, if you just work harder, everything will come together.
Right.
And it's a deceit. It's a trap. It's no.
It's funny. Even as you say that, I'm reminded of the pattern that God set up, you know, years and years and years ago with Sabbath.
Yep.
He was giving us this very principle in that, you know, there is a day that is to be set aside for rest and for refreshment, and I will provide your needs. You know, we watched him in the wilderness give them manna day after day, and on Saturday collect a double portion so that they didn't collect. I guess, I don't know, for them, that was probably Friday, and then Saturday collect, whatever that looks like.
Sabbath was Saturday, but it was Sabbath.
Yes. But anyway, the principle was there of, this is not you doing it. And I want to keep you in a posture of recognizing this gift that I am giving you. I am the provision, and stay dependent on me. Don't begin to chase it yourself and go after the portion of what you think you need to control to meet what you think are your needs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And what we're trying to say is that, remember, this is a spiritual thing. Mm-hmm. You've got an enemy that's working hard to draw you into the place of the flesh. And the question would be, today, are you tired? Today, is your mind occupied with burden? Well, you've fallen into the trap of the enemy. And the reason is that you are trying to figure this out yourself, and you keep chasing it. Mm-hmm. Hey, if I can just work a little bit harder in my business, we'll get there and everything will be great. And the interesting thing is, you never get there. I'm burdened by all these things, but if I can figure it out, I can resolve it. And God says, well, you're falling into the trap of the enemy as opposed to following me in the kingdom, because I have the answers and you're not seeking the answers.
So
if I was you, why don't you follow me and I'll give it to you? You know. And so we're trying to set it up. God says, you have an opportunity. I can lead you in a different way. Or you can stay where you are, trapped by the enemy, and he's working hard to keep you there. And the remedy is going to have to be to live with me in the kingdom and let me give it to you. And I know, and see, this is where the struggle is people say, well, I don't see very many Christians living any differently than me. Mm-hmm. And I say, I know. We don't have very many marketers out there who live in this peaceful life.
Right.
The one thing about our ministry is that our leaders do. They've learned it. People that are learning to abide and walk with God in the kingdom, they're learning it. And all we can say is, if I was you, I'd learn it. We'll help you learn. And that's what this little series is all about. So Heavenly Father, we do understand that the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, to devour us, to lead us to away from the kingdom of God, where we're having chasing things that aren't lasting, that are weary, our mind is occupied. And so we just pray that we'll learn that we can have a different way, and that your life for us is a different way. And we pray that we'll have a heart to learn this. And we praise you and thank you that it is possible to learn it. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich, for sharing today. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you have questions, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.